Hello, everybody. It's me, Eric. Today we're going to do a kind of special episode of Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. It's a little different, a little more informal. How do I put this? Okay. Usually we have kind of a set pattern and set of things we want to run through, and that keeps us pretty much on track as much as we're capable of. Also, usually we're reviewing relatively inexpensive beers that are available on the national, international, or at least regional scales. Today, we're going to be reviewing one of the most famous beers in the world, ranked number 4 by, I believe, Rate Beer, in some accounts, like of all beers in the world. Consistently in the top 25 beers in almost every imaginable rating. The Chicago Tribune called it the world's greatest beer. And that beer is the Heady Topper from the Alchemist Brewery up in Vermont. The reason we have this beer here is my dear friend Mike Mason just got back from a trip where he was in Canada and New England. And he was very kind enough to bring us samples of Heady Topper. And it should be said, from the very beginning, when Clayman and I first started talking about this episode, Clayman is actually not here. He's working at this time, so he missed this freaking amazing opportunity, and I feel really bad. We always envisioned us also drinking occasionally really high-quality beers and beers from small and craft breweries. The thrust was always inexpensive beers, but, you know, take advantage when you can, right? So, today, that's what we're going to do. It's Britt Treisch, infamous for his refusal to consume a Vienna sausage. It's Mike Mason, Smiling Mike, and it is myself, Eric Drummond-Smith. And so this is just kind of a special episode. Think of it as a bonus. So, the other thing to bear in mind is if you listen to this with your kids, like you're in the car and it's on the stereo, again, of course, we assume most people don't. This is a podcast about alcohol, so we assume most people are of drinking age who are listening. But, you know, who knows? I mean, people hang out with their kids when they drink beer, so why not listen to the history and blah, blah, blah. Just be aware, there are, this is, again, a really relaxed, laid-back episode, and I counted them up. There are 10 F-bombs. God. In this episode, you will hear discussion of it, as I do not say any of them, but my peers who are dropping them, every time they say one, they see my face, like, oh no, and then they get more and more excited about dropping F-bombs. So, anyways, today we're talking about Heady Topper from The Alchemist. It's a great episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a bonus. We've still got our regular episode coming out Friday. And, yeah, thanks for listening to Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. As always, check us out on Facebook or Twitter, on our website, pickledeggsandcoldbeer.com. And if you have any questions, feel free to write us at pickledeggsandcoldbeer@gmail.com. All right, guys. I look forward to revisiting this wonderful beer as I listen to it again with you all. All right. So I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Baby, don't put no more baking powder in your bread, you see. Call your biscuits is plenty tall enough for me. Baby, I don't want no more sugar in your jelly roll, you see. Call your jelly roll is plenty sweet enough for me. Some men like lunch meat, and some they like sultan.
All right, guys, we're back. I'm here with Smiling Mike Mason and Brent Treisch. How are you guys doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Peachy keen.
And I'm okay. I'm just okay, Eric.
You're just okay? It's a beautiful Sunday. Why are you just okay?
Well, I mean, you know, I was told that I was going to be able to have shitty beer and really awful food, and that doesn't seem to be this week's case.
No, you will not today. I mean, I can work on that. I mean, give me 15 minutes, and I can have both those things for you if you'd like.
We do have a microwave. They yeah. Said in a hurry.
So. Absolutely. I've got some cheese of questionable age. We can work on that. Who cares? Anyways, Guys, Mike, tell us real fast before we open this, what do we got here?
All right, today we have Heady Topper from The Alchemist in Stowe, Vermont. I took a vacation to the great land of New England a few weeks ago and brought back some Heady Topper for us to sample on this podcast. I hope it's still good.
I'm confident it is. You've kept it cold the whole time, right?
Yes.
So let's pop these while they're cold. Oh, that's a good sound. Man, the smell hits you right away.
Yeah. That was the craziest thing about actually going to the brewery was as soon as you open the doors, the hop smell slaps you around, grabs you by the collar, gives you a black eye, and says, go drink this.
It's like a Three Stooges episode.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to sip it now right away.
I just have to say my initial reaction is I feel like I'm fucking a unicorn.
Wow. It's one of those episodes, guys.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a beer that you hear so much about. And yeah. It's like, you know,
the flavor profile's still going. I'm sorry. Keep going.
I was going to describe in deep detail how it made my tongue feel.
It's one thing to see a unicorn.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, but
to
I'm
make
sitting
sweet
here,
love to it.
I have pulled my pants down and I have put it in my mouth. And
oh my God,
I'm talking about the beer. I'm just talking.
Yeah, you're talking about the beer.
And man, it really is. I mean, I'm tingling a bit.
It's man, that's a complex beer, dude. Holy mackerel! Yeah,
I could mow my yard while drinking this. I think.
I think that my first reaction is that it's a double IPA. It is this unicorn beer that people talk so much about, and I think you really expect it to be like, I am going to get punched in the nuts with some hops right now, and it's just going to be like roll you over bitterness or one of those classic double IPA kind of features, and it really doesn't have that at all.
No, it's like a lot. I mean, you've got the hops. You've got so much hop complexity.
I taste a lot of pine over notes.
There's
citrusy.
I definitely get the fruit kind of the citrusy sort of stuff. I get that a little bit. More than you get it from a lot of double IPAs.
Kind of almost like a dried, and this sounds so weird, I feel so pretentious, but like a dried apricot. You know what I mean? Do you all like those? I eat those.
When you go hiking?
Yeah, like that kind of, like it's citrusy, but it's not overwhelming.
Are they the Dole dried apricots, or are they Walmart brand?
I don't shop at Walmart.
Have they been in your pocket all day long?
They have been in my fanny pack.
We used to give those to our kids whenever they were getting constipated.
Heady Topper?
Yes, Heady Topper. It does wonders for constipation. Almost as good as Long John Silver's.
Now, I'm very tempted to drink this fast, and I'm actively not. A, because it's good. B, because it's expensive. And C, because we have basically one each. And then we have another one we're going to use just for color to sample it. Even though, like, the makers of this beer... Right, Mike, they explicitly don't want you drinking it not from the can, right?
It even says so on the can.
Yeah.
Drink from the can.
So obviously you had this at the brewery, right?
Yes, I did.
And you did not have it from the can?
No, I had it from a small taster glass straight from the tap.
So is this just marketing bullshit, or is this like actually can you taste the difference now from what you had from in the
when
taster?
I was at the brewery, it was a really good IPA, double IPA for that matter. But when I got home and cracked the first can, the flavor was much more complex than what I remembered it being at the brewery.
Right.
And the brewery also had Crusher and Focal Banger on tap. Mm-hmm. But after you start out with Heady, your palate's kind of shot at that point.
Yeah. So
they all taste like very hoppy beers, but... damn good hoppy beers.
Like, I can already feel the alcohol effect, if you will. Like, it's 8% ABV. And it's really, like, you can feel it in your sinuses because of the hops. You can feel it. Like, this is a really great.
And it's a great beer. It's like, you know, there is a big jump that you have to take as a beer drinker from IPAs to double IPAs.
Yeah.
And this would be a great one to give to someone that's trying to make that leap. Except, you know what? Fuck them, because they haven't been drinking enough double IPAs at this point to be drinking Heady Topper. No. So, you know, wait a little while. Go through a lot of shitty double IPAs.
Real bad stuff.
Find out more about who you are. Experiment around a little bit.
What do you think is a shitty double IPA?
Well, I think that there are some out there. I think because, you know, in the last decade or so, IPAs have really, you know, become the number one type of beer out there.
Yeah, they're the number one in America. I didn't even realize
that until today. And I think that a lot of people are naturally wanting more, so they're going to the double IPA. And to be honest with you, the alcohol punch that you get with double IPAs makes it, you know, when you're trying to drink craft beer, it makes it actually a little bit more affordable way to just get, you know, shit-faced. And, you know, I'm trying to think of a couple off the top of my head, but there are a couple, and you'll find them a lot in your local craft breweries and wherever you live. They try to make a double IPA, and it just doesn't work. That they go too far one way or another.
Ends up being more of a barley wine.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially when they start trying to do too much with it, when they try to oak age it or they try to do some sort of, you know, dry hop to it or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it can go wrong really quickly and become way too either bitter or way too sweet sometimes.
I agree with literally everything you said, because you all drink a lot more IPA than me.
I would say IPA is my favorite type. Probably double IPA is my favorite type of beer. I grew up drinking Bell's. I grew up understanding what Hop Slam was. And so, you know, for me, Heady Topper was that one beer out there left that I really still wanted to try. And,
wow.
You know, I think what I really like about it, though, Mike, is that you didn't have to go during one special week and fight major crowds like you do with some of these special releases, that they actually make this all the time.
Yeah, that was the nice part about it was we went there midday. And there were maybe a dozen other people in the brewery, but it was just a laid-back atmosphere. Now, they do not sell you pints at the brewery.
Really?
They just do. The tastings are free. And
is there a limit?
If there is, they didn't cut me off.
Okay.
Yeah. They didn't stamp my hand, so maybe I could have kept my glass and kept going back for more and more.
Yeah.
But they do sell cans from different flavors that they offer, and you were limited to 3-4 packs of Heady Topper. That's obviously the most popular. Then they had about 5 other their options available for purchase, with I think like a 5 or 6 4-pack limit on those. But it was fun, though. I'm glad we went. They had a disc golf course out in front of the brewery where you could, it was good for the kids just to be able to run around after being in the car all day.
Yeah.
And
go throw a frisbee. Daddy's got to get drunk.
Basically, yeah. I said, stay out here.
A beery treat. Yeah.
Don't go past those trees way out there.
I mean, it's Vermont. Nothing's ever happened in Vermont, to my knowledge.
Nothing but exciting, at least.
It was definitely.
There are bears, probably.
One of those places that is on your bucket list if you're a beer geek.
Well, it's definitely, I'll tell you what, we're not going to go into a ton about the history and background. This is, you know, it's a special episode, and I'm going to have all those links on the website. But I mean, they're a really ethical company, which is part of why it's price. What was the price factor on this?
It was $12.50 for a 4-pack, and that was across the board with each offering that they had.
All the beers were the same?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the reason, I think, I mean, part of at least the reason they're doing this, I mean, part of it, they're accused a lot, actually, if you read about them, of, like, artificial scarcity creation and stuff like that. And who knows, maybe that's part of the element of it. But I think when you read about it, too, I mean, they have 52 full-time employees. They have paid parental leave, paid medical leave, vacations for all of their employees. 100% of insurance is paid for employees, 50% for spouses. 401k with matching of 10 or 20%. They have a wellness director. They give free exercise and yoga classes to their employees. They have a staffed kitchen for their employees. And they support some charities that they support. They gave out, I think last year, 13, something like that. Yeah, 13 scholarships for $6,000 a piece to local high schoolers. So, like, They are charging a real price, but you're getting a high quality product, and it's not just going into the pockets of the people. They're taking care of their people, if you will. Like they're responsible capitalists, which is kind of what
well, the tourism economy too of that. Just because of how scarce it really is, that you have to go there to get it. I mean, that's basically how it is. You can get it at a few places around there, and it's really funny some of the places that you can actually find Hetty Topper at, mm-hmm. you know, small little delis and places like that that are in and around that community that have supported them for a while now. But you have to go there, and that's what they want. I mean, they don't make so much of it so that it's so widely available that you can get it, you know, in some of the bigger cities. It's not like you can get this in Chicago or Los Angeles or Orlando or someplace like that. You actually have to go to Vermont. Yeah,
I saw tags on cars from all up and down the East Coast there.
Yeah.
Cars that, you know, I could have sent my wife in to get another 3 packs for me.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't have bankrupted us for the rest of the trip. But there were cars with multiple people standing in line, and they were like taking their food out of their cooler just to keep this cold.
And you talked about, you know, sending your wife in there. One of the great stories that you hear when you talk about Hetty Topper is that in the early days when they were, you know, selling their beer and they had the limitations on how much you could buy, people would actually bring costumes and they would change in the bathroom and go back out to buy more. And it's like they would know it was those people, but they didn't take it so seriously that they wouldn't sell those people. If people are going to go to that lengths, then they're willing to sell more to you. So that's what I sort of always liked about this company is that they don't take it so seriously. You know, they sort of get what role they have, and they understand the role that they have and the power that they can have in their community, and they really just they go with that. I don't think they're exploiting anybody. I just think that they're making a damn good beer, and it makes people have to come to them if they want it.
The real definition of premium, like what the word should really mean, you know.
You promised me that last time I was here when I had a Miller Genuine Draft, and
it was you are the reason we did drink Miller Genuine Draft, though it should be said. So I will only take one. I'm going to take a third of the blame.
Do you think anybody's ever shotgunned this beer?
Yeah. It's somebody shotgun every beer ever made.
I'm sure of it, yeah. But they probably should have been beaten.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, people will even fly in. This is one of those beers people will fly from other countries to get. And my thought is, if you're willing to do that, I mean, as good as this beer is, you're bringing extra people with you to buy extra beer. And they're your employees. And you're like, your job is to go in and buy beer for me. And in exchange, you get a free trip to America. But that means you're going to have enough to shotgun. And I genuinely believe that that guy, like a guy who did it from like South Africa or a guy from Singapore.
It was probably the pilot.
You think the pirate? The pilot's
guys, shotgunning Hetty.
I think you're right. This is, I don't want to drink this. Mike, how far are you on yours?
About halfway through. These cans are in pints, not your typical 12-ounce variety.
Let's talk about the cans, too. What do you all think of the design of the cans?
Well, it's striking if you know what you're looking for.
Sure.
It's probably inexpensive to mass produce. Mm-hmm.
It's got a design.
It's got a pretty lengthy story on the back side of it.
Yeah.
About the beer itself.
It uses the word douchebag.
Yes. It does use the word douchebag on it.
It says, don't be a douchebag, recycle this can.
And
I brought some of those stickers back.
Really?
If you need it has a DB with a circle and cross through it. So don't be a douchebag.
I look forward to seeing that. That sounds great. Their artists, it should be said, all their cans and all their posters are designed by different kind of regional artists, from what I can tell. This can is designed by an artist named Dan Blakesley. I'm going to put a link to him on the website. His work is really good, guys. And
he actually has his name on the can too. If you look down above the in the Alchemist, it has his name on, which I think is cool that they got to get just support that they have. They could have easily left that off of there and you know, this is our logo or our design, and instead they give some props to him on the can,
which is fantastic. And Mike, of course, thank you again for this, Mike. Mike brought me a poster that we have up here in TK Studios. That I have put up, and it's beautiful. It's really gorgeous, and it is. It basically, a dude is drinking. He's a gentleman in a bow tie. I'm going to choose to believe it's Ralph Waldo Emerson. Who do you all think it is?
I think that's Wes Boggs.
I guess
one of our fraternity brothers. All right.
It's either Augustus Bush or Cameron Bell.
Augustus Bush. Or Cameron Bell. A friend of the podcast. All right. So, oh my God. So what is happening to him? He's drinking the beer and his...
There seems to be some sort of an explosion taking off the top of his head. It's mind-blowing, and the hops are overflowing from the explosion. So
he is dying. He is in the process of dying from hops overconsumption.
I just think he took a shower in hops and didn't rinse well.
Shower beer.
It is a shower beer.
This is a bath beer. I might fall down.
I'm a little concerned about his blood pressure. He seems to have rosy cheeks of some sort.
He does have rosy cheeks.
That seems to be... he might want to get that checked out.
He's also not obeying the rule of the beer. He's drinking from a glass.
Yeah, he actually is, yeah. What an asshole.
Ridiculous to advertise that whenever... at the top of the can, it says, don't drink from the can.
You think... I'm going to say it. I think that's probably a miscommunication between the brewery and the artist. But they were like, man, this is such a great... liberties. Maybe that's it, too. Maybe he was like, listen, I'm not going to draw a can and a can and a can and a can. This isn't a Russian nesting dolls. Like, who do you think I am?
Like, looking in the double mirror.
Exactly.
Is this your first time having this?
Yeah. It's amazing.
It is for me, yeah. I've wanted to have this for a really long time, but I've never made my way up into the Northeast, so...
I've had this one time prior, and it was an Emory and Henry homecoming tailgate.
Well, that seems logical.
Our buddy Hair Bear brought this down and was handing them out like Santa Claus.
Really?
I was in the right place at
actually,
the right time.
You know what? I think I may have had one. I thought maybe I did, but I did not remember it.
I probably had it, and it was mixed into a heady concoction of hundreds of other...
Well, there was a time where we used to give Eric just really hoppy beers just to really just mess with him because he was not usually drinking those things at that time. So.
No, I am famously a black and porter beer.
Can I tell the story of the 120-minute IPA?
If you edit it appropriately.
Okay. Basically, it was a bunch of us hanging around a cabin in the woods.
Watching football.
Yeah. It's a really rustic cabin with a 50-inch TV, and we were probably maybe like 4-5 McUltras deep into the night.
It was not. We were not high
end. We were 487 calories in.
That's an appropriate.
There may or may not have been a scotch prior to that. I don't know.
We had eaten chili.
Eric was comfortably relaxed in his recliner, and I was getting up. And he said, "Hey, Mike, can you give me another beer?" Handed me an empty mug. So I went to the kitchen and I found a bottle of the Dogfish Head 120-minute IPA. I poured it in his glass and brought it back to him. And by the time he got about 2/3 of the way through it, he had morphed into a dancer on Star Trek.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Which species, may I ask? Kardashian?
Yes, the Kardashian Klingon variety.
Well, that's quite the interbreed right there. Kardashian Klingons. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast, we invite you to draw a Kardashian Klingon version of me dancing to the beats of 120 minutes.
Yeah. And it may have been Star Search, too, instead of Star Trek. I can't remember. Ed McMahon might have busted
it
in.
It could be both.
I gave Eric like 3 stars after his dance.
He beat out a little girl that was singing country music.
It was a Patsy Cline song, too.
I love Patsy Cline.
And I think it was distracting that you kept dancing while she was singing, but whatever.
Listen, don't judge me for my artistic choices.
So, Eric, is there more shitty, nerdy stuff that you're going to tell us about this, or am I just going to stand over here and get drunk?
You can. I've got all sorts of nerdy stuff to talk about. Originally, I only made it 2 times a year. My favorite thing is, like, apparently this is so loved that people are getting arrested for, kind of like with the old Coors Banquet days, but a much better beer, arguably. For selling it. One lady was selling it for $825 a case on Craigslist and got arrested. I don't know exactly where she was, but I have to assume she's like somewhere West Coast. If you're going to be getting that kind of money,
that's funny because as you buy the can, they have a sign explaining why you're buying it straight from the refrigerator, mm-hmm. not only to ensure the freshness of it, but also to make sure you don't ship it somewhere.
Yeah. But people are, they work in the way. I mean, the whole reason they can this beer is actually interesting. People, when at first they only sold it like by the drink, and people were going into the brew pub. They were bringing flasks and bottles with them. They would go to the bathroom, take their beer and pour it in, and then go and order another and fill up their bottles, which I in my mind are like hanging from kilts or inside of cargo pants or something. And they would fill them up and then leave with them, and that's how they would get them out, and then they'd sell those.
Was the only other beer available in Vermont Bud Light at that time?
What it seemed like a pretty
desperate act.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a good beer, but I don't know that I would go into a bathroom and fill up a bottle in my pants.
Yeah, there's some cross-contamination going on there for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't seem sensible to me. This does use Simcoe hops. That's another... Pardon me, I'm sorry, guys. Talking about burps. Simcoe hops, they're developed on the Yakima Chief Ranch in Washington State, released in 2000. I don't know if those are genetically engineered or bred or not, but apparently they are kind of considered one of like the high points of really powerful citrusy hops. I'm sorry, go for
it. It's one of those things like Centennial hops. It's one of those things that, you know, you get, when you look around the good beers around there, there will Simcoe or Centennial or one of those hops is usually one of those things that's kind of added into it.
Yeah. It shows that this is a high quality hop, obviously. This is, man, my cheeks are glowing. I feel great.
I think one of the big things about this beer, though, is that it's the yeast that they use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the special recipe that the founder and owner of the Alchemist has kind of been sworn to be to only.
His family's the only one who can use it.
Yeah, so they don't share it or anything like that. And I think that that's probably one of the, you know, because when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it's ultimately water and yeast is really what can really make or break a beer. And so this one has something. I don't know what it is, but it's got something.
Well, if you read about he went up in the 80s to learn how to brew beer from, I think it's Jeff Noonan. One of the great kind of like.
Danny. It's actually Danny.
Danny Noonan?
Yeah.
One of the great like. No, Steve. God. Oh my God. Who is Danny Noonan? I know that name.
He was a great golfer.
Great.
He played at Bushwood Country Club where he won the caddy tournament.
Wait, is this a caddy? That's Caddyshack. That's why I. God, I hate you so much. Now I don't trust anything. Oh, Greg Noonan is the real person, not the cat. Guys,
brother.
Let's do a little toast to Caddyshack. We didn't toast.
Cheers.
To Caddyshack.
Thanks, Danny.
One of the truly great movies.
When did this first hit the market?
Well, Greg, it was apparently like, probably he was 94. He went to learn from Noonan. He ends up marrying his wife, John Kimmich. Kimmich? Is it Kimmich or Kimmich? Did you hear that while you were up there?
No, I didn't meet the family.
It's K-I-M-M-I-C-H. Well, yeah, but I didn't know if you heard maybe somebody talking about them. And anyways, the Kimmiches or Kimmichs, I'm going to say Kimmich, family. John met his wife, Jen, and the two of them started brewing together. And they went on kind of a roundabout tour of the country, living in a lot of different places. And the yeast that they use is from Greg Noonan. He found it himself somewhere in England, and that's kind of kept secret and made Kimmich promise not to give it to anyone else. So I guess so that they would be in a non-compete kind of situation. So Kimmich and his wife kind of travel around. They're living in Boston. 9/11 occurs, and they're like, we want to live a slower, kind of more pastoral kind of life. And they make the decision to leave the big cities where they could arguably make a lot more money, go to Vermont, set up shop, and they open up in 2003 the Alchemist Brewery, and literally like they start to really get things going. They start to can in 2011, and in 2011, literally that month in August, that they start like selling Heady Topper on a large scale. is also the month that Hurricane Irene hits Vermont, and it floods and destroys their whole outfit, and then they have to rebuild, and that's when they decide to focus more on get rid of the restaurant, focus on making and selling beer, and of course on beer tourism, and then that's it. That's kind of leads us to where they are today. And their cases, they're killing it in their production increase. Basically, since 2013, they've doubled production to, I don't know, a bunch. Guys, I'm really feeling this beer already.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. So you and I have both have heard of this beer for a while. So, I mean, does it live up to the mythology for you?
I think it does. I mean, if you put this next to a lot of grocery store IPAs and even visiting breweries themselves, a blind taste test, you would probably say that this beer has a more bold taste than your everyday run-of-the-mill IPA. Even some of the higher octane IPAs.
Yeah.
I mean, I sought it out for a reason because I had it one time prior, and I guess I wanted to share the joy with the rest of us Southwest Virginia brethren. And
I'm really grateful you did, by the way. Thank you so much for this.
I am too. I mean, for me, I mean, I think that it's a beer that it lives up to the expectations. It's a fantastic double IPA. I think the greatest thing you can say about the craft brew scene right now, though, is that I've had other really good double IPAs in the last year or so. I mean, it was 5 or 6 years ago where you didn't. You had to wait till January when they put out Bell's Hop Slam or when a special double IPA was released or something like that. But you can go down to, you know, we're here in Abingdon, Virginia. You can go to Wolf Hills and they have a great double IPA there. And I can have a great double IPA any day of the week. But I think the cool thing, though, is that if you make a really good one and you have a really good story, that places like The Alchemist and Hetty Topper, it's still something that people like us want to seek out because it's still a beer that, you know, has been doing this for a little while now, really helped launch the scene. And it really is sort of that grandfather. I mean, I think that I think if you go to Untappd or someplace like that, it's not the number one beer anymore. It was for a really, really long time, but it's not anymore. And there are probably better beers than this out there, but it's really consistent. It's really good, and it comes from a really good company. So people that respect what craft breweries do, that respect what is happening in the beer scene these days, will seek it out because, you know, it is just one of those things. It's sort of one of the Mount Rushmores of beers out there, especially in the IPA style.
Yeah, and, you know, it lives up to the legend of it.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, that people, back whenever I first started getting into the craft beer scene, you waited until Hop Slam came out, and then you rushed your store that carried it and hoped that they still had it within a couple hours of getting the shipment.
Well, we've gone to tap takeovers, the three of us with a couple of our friends. For that purpose, basically.
Well, and Mike, I can remember times when I first met you, you know, a long time ago now, that when Bell's Hop Slam came out, that you and I were fucking high-fiving because we could get one bottle.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, that's how much the scene has changed. And now I can come over to your house and grab you and drive less than 3 miles and we can go drink a really good double IPA. It may not be exactly Hetty Topper, but it's still, when I want a double IPA, there, we are very blessed to be in an area and in a country where that style of beer is really, really prevalent.
Yeah. And it is really like reading all about this, like even we've been doing the podcast for a really short period of time, but like I've learned enough that like you really see the early 20th century, World War I, Prohibition, the Great Depression, and World War II. It's just like a punch to the American and Canadian brewing industries, so that you have basically before Prohibition you have 3,500 breweries in the United States. By the 70s you have 95. And it was just, we were a beer desert. That's totally the word I use now. We just had nothing. So we're kind of living in this wonderful moment, this renaissance of American brewing, which makes sense. I mean, we're a multicultural nation. We have tons of beer traditions from all over the world, should have thrived here for a very, very long time. And it's just kind of now that we're seeing that happen. And If you're willing to seek it out, if you're willing to go beyond just what's at the gas station.
Yeah, and I still want to point out, though, with this beer, I want to be very clear, although you can get good double IPs out there, double IPAs out there, I'm still fucking a unicorn here.
It is. Well, I want you to know, one of the things that's actually interesting, if you get online and you really read articles about this beer, the references to unicorns abound. People talk about unicorns and this beer so much that, and by the way, the maker of the beer hates that it is talked about in that way. John actually has said this isn't a magic formula, and he has stated he is explicitly annoyed by the fact that it's mythologized. But I think that that's not really fair. You need to be, I understand that he's trying to be, maybe he's just trying to be humble, but at the same time, like, dude, you made something amazing, and you keep making it at that same quality.
Well, and he's sort of making it that. I mean, by not widely releasing it, which I'm happy that he's not doing it. I think that's a fine decision. He is making it this something that has become. I mean, we're lucky that Mike went and got this beer. That Mike happens to live on the East Coast and is able to take a family trip up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not kill his family after being on the road for like 3 weeks or whatever. That he did this.
He really Chevy Chased it for us.
I mean, he snuck. I'm assuming you carried this beer in your bunghole back to us.
I did not have to cross the Canadian border with it. Otherwise, I may have lost it.
I just want to point out, I did almost vomit.
I didn't know if that was the can or if it's the bathroom that's in the kitchen here in the studio.
No, toilet kitchen studios did have a major renovation yesterday. I apologize.
Golden toilet.
What?
You have a golden
toilet. We have a golden toilet. It's like you're in Dubai. You're in the United Arab Emirates.
White House.
Yes. And you're welcome to go in and just sit on it and really bask in the, you know, the giant poster of Bo Jackson.
I'm gonna pee out $4 here in a little bit, so.
Yeah. Well.
Well, a pint of 8% ABV is going straight to my head at this moment.
Yeah, I feel silly, guys.
I had a couple of pig in the blankets before I came over here for this. Trying to make sure I didn't go overboard, but. It's a face warmer.
I just totally edited myself from a Imran Henry sorority joke. So I just
I'm going to move on. All right, guys. Well, we're going to take a little break. We're going to be right back. We're gonna break the rules. We're gonna pour a third of a can each into small glasses so we can look at the color.
We're all going to put on sweater vests.
I have on a sweater vest and a t-shirt right now. Because it's a new sweater vest, I wanted to give it a run. That's make completely sure true. I just wanted to make sure it was like up to my sweater vest standards. And which
wear a playground exacting. Ball on the head.
You're gonna what?
I'm gonna wear your playground, your deflated playground ball
that
on
I bought
head
for my
as
niece,
well.
My beautiful yes. niece. Yes.
And there is a Mike Foamy thing that I need to talk about some more.
Yes.
The Mike Foamy thing.
Yeah.
I could talk about that on the air real fast.
You've worked in those, radio before.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right now. I'm going to warn you, I might be telling you a lie. It's a fuzz, is what they call it. Actually,
a fuzz.
Yeah,
I tried one episode with those, and it did not turn out well. It did not. The sound was not
was
good.
It fuzzy.
All right, we'll be right back with more pickled eggs and cold beer. Jesus God.
Some men don't care for biscuits. They like the doggone big fat bomb. But baby, don't put no more baking powder in your bread, you see. Cause your two biscuits plenty big enough for me.
Okie dokie, we are back. Wait till you see the picture we took. I guess you may have already seen it. If you've been on the website already, you've already seen the picture.
Eric doesn't understand the production of the show yet.
So. Guys, this is only like the 10th episode I've recorded. I'm just a man. So, that sounds good. We're opening up another one, and we're going to break this cardinal rule of not pouring. We're going to pour it so we can see the color and the consistency, the head, all that good stuff.
Sure, we get equal portions here. I don't
sure.
want to shortchange anybody.
I will cut you fuckers if I don't.
Feel free to have a potty mouth tonight.
He does. By the way, I'm keeping a record of F-bombs. So far, that's 5 F-bombs.
I am the Andrew Dice Clay of...
Hey! That is more nurse, F-bombs than have been used in the entire length of the podcast.
Hickory dickory ear. This bitch was drinking my beer.
Oh, my God. Oh, St. Andrew. Yeah. We are a feminist podcast, though, guys.
I was talking about a punk.
A punk? Oh, like a jerk.
A bitch ass.
Really glad I told a bunch of my peers at work to listen this week.
I told all my people in my church, too.
To be at least no, that's true. I've told a lot of people at churches. Oh, that's hilarious.
Shortchanging you there.
That's okay. Don't listen with your kids.
It's fine to pour it out of Bubby's. Don't worry.
No, you can pour. Yeah, that's fine. It is fine.
He's got the furthest to drive.
Where's my graduated beaker?
Thank you very much, Mike Mason. So cheers. Cheers. God and St. Andrew, guys.
Yeah. Look at that.
Prost, all that good stuff. Is there a traditional cheers in New England?
I think it probably involves the word fuck, if I had to guess.
Oh, my God. Dang.
Or cheese.
And Tom Brady. Here's the Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
The Patriots. That's kind of the Bears, but the Patriots.
The Patriots. The Patriots. I will definitely say right off the bat, Les knows. He's right about that.
Oh, I forgot we're actually supposed to be doing something besides drinking the damn
You do what you have to do. I'm not one to judge.
I learned this when I got drunk and peed outside of a brewery at one point.
I with you on this tour?
You were. You complained That's about all thought. The walking.
Was that
I
the White
do.
House brewery?
Yeah, you
tour?
We did. After the tour is over, we did walk across Appalachia.
But anyway, if you hold up the beer to the light and see if how many fingers you can see through it, you can't see anything really.
Yeah. It's golden, but totally lacks translucency. Really, only light itself gets through it. It's really beautiful, but you don't see a lot of bubbles in it. The head dissipates pretty quickly.
Definitely unfiltered.
No legs to it of note. Almost a soapy kind of color, if that makes sense.
Do you understand what he's talking about?
I just think he didn't rinse his glasses.
Yeah, I don't.
Am I drinking out of dirty glasses? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't wash anything. I have never washed a glass.
Shave your ass.
I don't even know what's happening. Guys.
Heady toppers.
Heady toppers. Heady toppers for real, real, guys. I hope that guys, by the way, if you are with the Alchemist of Waterbury, Vermont, we very much encourage you to sponsor the podcast.
Yes. You've made 3 hillbillies from Appalachia very happy.
I'm really I really do, guys. I love this beer. Thank you so much, Mike, for bringing it.
I bet they never get people asking them for beer.
I'm not even to ask them for beer. Like,
I'm asking for beer.
All right. Trish is asking for beer. Mike, what are you asking for?
A t-shirt.
I'd also like a t-shirt.
Clayman is not here, but he would like a shop vac or a pressure washer. Or anything that can be purchased at any gas station. And I would like really all of the above. Really? Any of them.
It's only like a 14-hour drive from here.
It's
so
easy. It's a hop, skip, and a jump.
We could go up there and get
honestly, I'd love to do a show Airbnb. Up there. One of my dreams for as the show hopefully takes off a little more. And by the way, we broke, I think, 5,500 at the time of this recording downloads. Thank everybody for who's listening to this. But as the show builds and builds, I'd love to just do tours at different smaller breweries. And maybe even some of the mezzo breweries, you know, the regional ones. And hell, in Golden, Colorado. But
I'm willing to pee anywhere.
You are known for that. You have a shirt that says it.
Yes.
I'm
a professional.
You are a professional. So before we rank this and rate it, I do want to give, we have the 3 major sites that we always try to give the reviews from. Beer Advocate. Again, as I said in the intro, it's the number 4 ranked beer in the world on Beer Advocate. 4.71 of 5. Rate Beer gives it a 4.24 of 5. It also notes that it's a 120 IBU. Untapped actually says it's a 100 IBU beer, but they both agree it's 8% ABV. Guys, this is good beer. But Untapped... Untapped gives it a 4.6, so 4.71, 4.24, and 4.6 in the Democratic ratings The Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm not sure their official rating. And the Chicago Tribune calls it the best beer ever made. I mean, ratings are pretty much off the charts for this beer. I'll tell you what. You guys are both technically guests today. I didn't assign either of you the co-host responsibility. But since Mike got the beer, I'm going to let you go second. How's that sound?
Sure.
For reviews? All right. So, Brent, tell me your overall thoughts on, you know, smell, taste, mouthfeel, all that good stuff.
I'm not telling you anything about mouthfeel. I'm going to be honest with you.
You're opposed to the entire concept.
No, I think that overall, if I was to describe this taste, it really is a easy drinking double IPA.
Yeah.
It's one of those dangerous beers that you've probably had where it goes down really easily. And the next thing you know, you have your shirt off and you're watching Carrot Top videos on YouTube. And it gets weird. It gets really weird really quickly. And
is that what we're going to be doing in a minute?
Yeah, if you'll ever share
each of us.
All right.
Now, if we had two cans apiece.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And it is Sunday, guys.
Praise the Lord.
Praise baby Jesus.
Maybe tap dancing like Sammy Davis Jr. later on.
But anyway, I don't know what
I wish.
I don't know what mouthfeel means, but
how does it feel in your mouth?
Wet.
Like clearly there's
better
a difference
than
between
this fuzz.
Is this a Title IX thing?
No, it's not Title IX. Oh my God.
It's
clearly we both work in colleges.
Listen, folks, it's easy to drink. If you like good beer, there's a reason this is rated as highly as it is across all the different boards. It's really easy to drink. It's not too bitter. It's one of those things that, like, if you like beer, you should drink this beer at some point.
Yeah, if you have the opportunity, please. So what would you... is there anything about the marketing, anything about the flavor, anything in particular that is the one thing that you're like, when you talk about this beer in a week, what's the thing that's going to come up?
I think the thing I would tell people is that this is a beer they can get anytime. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a big deal, is that you can go get this beer anytime you're in the Vermont area. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait for a special occasion. And also, more importantly, this is a beer that is meant to be consumed soon after you purchase it. This is not, you know, I tell people this all the time when they get good beer, that this is not a beer that should be living in, you know, your house on a shelf somewhere for special occasions. It's like, it's a fucking beer. Just drink it as soon as you can. How many am I up to?
You are up to 7.
Cool. I'll probably get to double digits. You should drink this beer. Don't let it live on your shelf. It's better when it's fresher. So
yeah.
And I don't know, Mike, if you have any idea when this. I mean, obviously
I don't. That's why I was just checking out the can
probably,
to see when it was.
Yeah, they
made.
Don't probably keep it around that long. So this is probably less than a month old.
There were a lot of empty shelves on the cooler behind the retail desk, and occasionally you could see somebody load another pallet.
Yeah,
another 12 pack or whatever.
And you can taste it. I mean, you can taste the.
So I'm assuming that it was probably canned within a few days of us arriving, which would put it maybe 10 days old right now.
Yeah, it's great. So. And this is a beer that does not get better with age. There are some beers that you can put on the shelf and it will age and it does something different to the taste and so forth. This is not one of those beers. Get the beer and drink the beer.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. How about you, Mike? What are your thoughts? Oh, wait, before we go, I'm sorry. What ranking would you give this?
Are we doing with the Untappd ranking kind of scale?
Like the 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I don't. I'll just be honest with you. I don't give a 5 beer because I always want to believe that there's a beer out there that's going to be better than this.
Yeah.
So this is going to. This will be my rare 4.75 beer.
4.75.
Because I think that this is a beer that is a standout, and if I do think of it as a Mount Rushmore beer, as I said earlier. Mm-hmm. If you can't give that beer 4.75, then there's probably not many that will. But there's only probably a handful of beers that'll ever get that high of a rating from me.
Yeah, no, I think that's very fair. Awesome. Well, how about you, Mikey?
I'm going to start out with my ranking because I also, on the Untappd app, gave it a 4.75 for the exact same reason that...
And you had a different rating on the taster, though, I noticed.
Did I? Oops.
You had a 4.5, I believe, on the taster.
Okay, maybe I'm setting the bar a little bit lower in hopes that there is a beer that's going to blow me away more than this has.
So a 4 point, are we calling this a 4.5?
Yeah, I'll give it a 4.5.
Okay.
I'll keep that consistent.
Okay.
I had my kids. I mean,
you could change it. You're allowed to change opinions.
Well, you rated the can 4.75, so you already have given it 4.75.
Yeah,
don't,
and that's
oh, don't,
that's
don't, don't,
a 4.625. Like okay,
I'm going
4.625.
Oh my god, 4.625. But you're definitely going to recommend drink it from the can. It is better.
Yeah,
from the
it can. In my experience, it was definitely better from the can. But like Brent was saying, it's you hope that maybe you're lucky enough to come across a beer that will give you that 4.75 or 4.875 rating.
What are you doing?
This is what beer does to you, by the way. Yeah. On the Untappd, you can only give 4.5 or 4.75.
That's fair.
Mike has chosen to give an imaginary number.
He'd like to give it gore.
I'd like to go into the metric. I'd like to change it from imperial to metric.
Can we put this in a 7.7 star?
No.
Yeah. Asterisks.
The thing that really hit me about drinking it from the can whenever I first got home from vacation, so a little bit did tonight, and maybe it's because I knew what was coming, but there was just this intense fresh hop, fresh pine, fresh, and not in a bad way, but a grass taste to it. Now, no, I don't encourage going around eating grass out of your lawn or anything like that, but just...
But the smell of fresh cut grass as a flavor.
And
or a Yankee candle.
Or a Yankee candle. I keep forgetting you're a huge Yankee candle person.
I am.
Yeah.
But it...
There's a spider in my
wall. It hits you with the sense of freshness, and that's what was pretty awesome about it, is you could tell that it hadn't been sitting around in a hot tap line for a while.
It's the Massengill of beers.
It's the freshest beer you may have the East Coast.
This is the highest classy.
It is.
This is easily the finest beer we've had so far, and you just called it the Massengill of beers.
It's fresh.
It is the
springy.
Dangerously drinkable.
It's very good.
Yeah. Some of the like the higher ABVs and stuff, the double IPAs that creep into barley wine territory. You get half a pint through it, and the alcohol hits you in the face, and you're sipping it at this point.
Yeah,
this beer on a hot day could go down way too fast.
Yeah, you'd have to be very careful with this.
And you would pop that second top if you had the luxury of having a lot available to you.
And then it's just texting people or going in and you guys
buying
are both
some
married.
Weird stuff on Amazon.
Yeah, buy it.
Going on a radio show talking about douche products.
Yep. So you could more than Brent or I, you could talk to the authenticity of this beer. And you've been to the place, you've seen how it's done. That's a kind of a rare and wonderful thing. Is there anything you want to speak to on that, or do you feel like we've covered it?
I think it'd be fun to take you guys there and just hang out. I'd like, you know, I had my family with me. It was around lunchtime, and I had a I'll plug right now. Shout out to my son. He turned 3 today. But at the time, he was
Elwood.
2. Yes, Elwood. It's not his real name. That's Eric's name for him.
That is his real name.
He goes around wearing sunglasses and a fedora.
I Jimmy said, I am the godfather of this child. And literally, this actually happened on the day that the child was christened. Baby Jesus. I did tell the preacher that as the godfather, I had made the decision that his name was, in the eyes of God, to be Elwood. And he did not say anything about it in the church.
That's like his Pope name, I guess.
It's his Presbyterian Pope name. And the pastor did not seem to agree or understand, but I think
sure
we had an agreement.
He got it. God told him he got it.
And I got him his first University of Tennessee jersey this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for that. We'll be sure to wipe our butts.
I have not said anything unkind about Virginia Tech on this podcast.
Well... this time.
or ever. On the podcast, I mean.
Yeah.
God bless Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University. How's that?
God bless all the academic institutions of Appalachia.
Agreed. I agree 100%. Okay, moving on.
So, yeah, 4
and 8 stars out of 5.
4 5/8. We'll call it that.
If Sarah, the Uber driver, is out there listening to this, we all need a ride home here in a little while.
Yeah, we're gonna need. Is that the name of the Uber driver in Abington?
The one.
The one.
No.
No, I was gonna say. I thought you knew. All right, we'll move on.
Let me tell the story. I was in Canada on the same trip and discovered Uber Eats.
Oh.
And took advantage of that after a day of being a tourist in Montreal. We found a macaroni and cheese bar.
God, I love macaroni and cheese.
And it was
a macaroni and cheese bar.
Yes, but
they have that in my cafeteria every once in a while.
You know how Chinese food around here comes in this big aluminum tin?
Oh yeah.
That's how they brought this mac and cheese, and mine had like five different kinds of cheeses.
What kind of topping?
Had an andouille sausage, jalapenos. My kids got some with bacon.
Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance, crab with macaroni and cheese.
That is very good. I've had that. Yes.
I think our friend Robbie got a grilled cheese with mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
One got ziti. I do remember that. With cheese.
Seems very fancy.
The best part, it was all real cheese. It was not any of this crayon shaving craft stuff.
It was legit.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, yeah. That's my...
Well, do you remember the name of that restaurant? We'll give it a plug.
It was like Marcone's Macaroni and Cheese Bar, Montreal, Quebec.
Send them a bill, Eric.
Yeah. I'm going to send them the bill.
Yeah.
If they would like to sponsor this or franchise in Virginia.
In Appalachia, we would gladly help. Yeah. Well, I will definitely give them a plug. I'll find them somehow and put it on the website. So we have a 4.75, a 4.625. The most complex rating so far in the history of this blog. I'm going to give it a 4.9. I think it's excellent.
Also not a possible score.
Not a possible. A 4.9 is not a possible score?
No, it's 4.75 or 5.
Okay, we're not. I could give it
8.75.
I'm who types it into.
Wait a second.
The website. our website is not the same as Beer Advocate, Rate Beer, or Untapped. Yeah, sorry about that.
I like badges. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I like all those. I'm not against them. Clearly, I read their scores every week. But we give it our own special pickled eggs and cold beer rating. So I'm giving it a 4.9 because, again, I think this is a damn fine beer. It's exactly the kind of beer I'm looking for. Not to say I'm always looking for the exact same type of beer, but it's a great beer. It's a high-quality beer, and I would be pleased to drink it anytime.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
How did it feel in your mouth?
Yeah. Well, neither one of us talked about mouth.
Let's talk about mouth
so
feel.
Much. That's
right.
Your job.
It's not overly carbonated. It's not. It calls itself, and a lot of people have referred to it as dry. I didn't think it was overly dry. In fact, I haven't had a sip for a while, and I still have aftertaste. It is. It's really complex in terms of, like, you get that unfiltered feeling. So it's not like watery. It's not overly like a wine or a liquor. It's very much like a beer, a very kind of traditional European farm beer, kind of in the way it feels in your mouth. And so, yeah, how about that, Mike?
Is that your Pornhub rating?
All right. God bless.
What would you call a farm beer?
Farm beer is
not
like
a farmhouse ale, but what's a farm beer?
A farm beer would be kind of like a traditional like French or German or Belgian or Dutch kind of farm beer. Like a farmhouse ale is a kind of classic kind where it's unfiltered, where it's very very local in its feeling, where it's in terms of its ingredients and stuff like that. And where again, it's kind of, honestly, this is a weird way to put it, but I always think of it as, I can't look at Mike because he's doing something to distract me. I always think of it like, have you ever read about like ancient, like Mesopotamian and Egyptian beers and how they were so unfiltered that they had to use a straw?
Fuck yeah.
Straw.
Yeah, they drank the beer with a straw because
a bamboo shoot. They didn't have straw.
Or a reed. It was a reed that they used as a straw.
They used a plastic straw. A bendy one.
Yeah, which apparently is a horrible thing now. With an umbrella on top, like we used for the taping of an upcoming episode. So, but no, it's I always think of it as kind of like a primitive beer, I guess. guess is the way you would think of it as a farmhouse okay. beer. Yeah. And I mean that in the best way possible. So just like Primitive Art, it has a very naturalistic feeling.
I spaced out there for a second.
Well, I assumed you would. I'm surprised you didn't just get up and walk out the door. Yeah, I know. If you're interested in those kind of beers, check out A History of the World in Six Glasses. There's a really good description of those. But anyways, and you know what? I'll put that on there. Mike, do you have anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, there was another brewery in Stowe called Idle Time that I'd never heard of before, but we stopped there. Really good beer, really good food. Our server was exceptional dealing with our very hungry 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so if you decide to venture to the Alchemist, plan a meal and it's some sit down and relax time at Idle Time.
And that's in Stowe, Vermont.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's all of the I's except for the very first I are Y's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So would you give it, by the way, Idle Time, from what I could tell, would have one more I.
Let me see how you spell it there.
Okay. Idletyme.
Yes.
How he did. So all the I's is one.
Except for the first one.
Is one I.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
But yeah, it was.
Is there a beer? Is there a particular beer you'd recommend there?
What did I have?
You had the Bohemia Pilsner.
Yes,
and you also had the Danube, which was the Hefeweizen.
Yeah, Karen, my wife, got the Hefeweizen, which was advertised to have blueberry undertones, which you could taste a little bit of blueberry.
Yeah, the
Pilsner was awesome. Now, my palate recently, as I have aged, I went through a heavy IPA period, and now I'm kind of back towards like the European pilsners and lighter beers this summer.
The more bohemian light stuff, yeah.
That'll change seasonally when
sure
wintertime rolls around. But yeah, it's good beer.
That's awesome. Awesome. Anything else?
That is it for me today.
All right. How about you, Brent?
Oh, I'm always plugging things, of course. I am heavily involved with the Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion in downtown Bristol, Virginia, and Tennessee, September the 21st through the 23rd. We have like 20 stages, over 130 different bands. Tickets are on sale, bristolrhythm.com. Some bands you need to check out, of course, Old Crow Medicine Show will be there, Marcus King Band. And then some new up-and-coming bands. Check out groups like The New Respects, Warren Treaty, Lily Hyatt, The Birds of Chicago. Lots and lots of great bands out there, I promise, if you like live music. And Bristol just happens to have a pretty good brewery scene down there. They currently have 2 breweries within the footprint of Bristol Rhythm and Roots, and a third on State Street. State Street Brewing Company, I believe, is going to be open and selling some beers also. So lots of opportunity to go down and enjoy some craft brews and hear some good tunes. And this year is going to be a fantastic festival to celebrate our 18th anniversary.
Nice. I didn't know Lily Hyatt was going to be there.
Yeah. We're just good friends, and I'll help book the music, so that's cool.
Nice.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Oh, and also, one last thing.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's 10.
All right. We are an R-rated episode.
which of the 7 George Carlin words have we not said?
I don't. Let's not try. This isn't a contest. It's not a celebration.
It should be.
God. All right. So cool. Rhythm and Roots. Anything else, buddy?
No, just, seriously, come check us out. We need your support. If you can't make it to Bristol during the festival, make sure you go by the Birthplace of Country Music Museum. Especially anybody that lives in the Southwest Virginia, Northeast Tennessee part of our world. First of all, you are lucky to live here. And second, go and see what makes this area so special, especially when it comes to roots music. I know a lot of people have a bad connotation when you say country music. I'm not talking about that stupid shit that's the bro country stuff.
We're not talking about like the bubblegum.
No, we're not talking about any of that stuff. We're talking about the origin of some of the greatest names in early country music, like the Carter family and Jimmy Rogers and Uncle Eck and all these other folks that helped kind of put country music on the spotlight, which now, really, to be honest with you, is probably more like roots folk Americana music. Come check it out. It makes you proud to be from this region. So if you haven't been to the Birthplace of Country Music Museum, go check it out. If you live too far away, check out Radio Bristol. You can find an app for Radio Bristol and hear music that will be at Bristol Rhythm and Roots.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Brent. Whoa, that was an accident.
That's the rap bell.
That's exactly. The only two things I want to add to that, of course, I want to give a plug out to, you know, because you inspired me to do this, Carter Family Fold. Carter Family Fold in Hilton's, Virginia, which is very near us, is one of the best places to see live music, I would argue, in the world. It is an institution of mountain music, bluegrass, old-time country.
I would go for the food, too.
The hot dogs?
Yes.
There's also a vending machine just outside of the Carter Fold that sells live bait.
Well, that's actually surprisingly handy I've found in my life. So the Carter Family Fold, if you get the chance, look it up. I'll put a link on the website. Check them out. And, of course, as always, I want to give a shout-out to Wolf Hills Brewing in Abingdon, Virginia, where I do trivia every
Wednesday.
The Trivia
Master.
Yeah, and, of course, if you're in Abingdon, please stop by and visit, and it's a wonderful thing. So, guys, thank you all for coming on a Sunday night. I know that it was a real tribulation to drink this excellent beer.
It was tough.
Let's go watch some Carrot Top videos.
Yeah, we're going to go. Yeah. Guys, we're about to go into the living room and watch some Carrot Top videos on my Ewing
tube. Have you seen the one with him and Eddie Murphy?
All right. Well, that is it, I guess. So let me do my little run out. I almost forgot to say that, I guess. That's it for this episode of Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. Again, I'd like to thank Smiling Mike Mason and Brent Treisch for coming and shooting the ball with us. I'd also like to tell you that the music we used in this episode was from Bo Carter's 1939 piece, Your Biscuits Are Big Enough for Me, which
Bo
is, I figured it's sexy enough. Bo knows Bo. It is sexy enough to go with our first, arguably R-rated episode of Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. Thank you. We'll be back soon with another episode, but in the meantime, please check us out on Facebook or Twitter or on our website, pickledeggsandcoldbeer.com, for more content. Please remember to use common sense when consuming alcohol. Don't drink and drive. And we will see you all next week for another episode. Cheers.
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 Baby, don't put no more sugar in your jelly roll, you see. Cause your jelly roll is plenty sweet enough for me. There's some men, you know, they're straight. Some crickets are ballast snakes. Some men don't like bunging biscuits like the doggone flatbed egg cake. But baby, don't put no more baking powder in your bread, you see. Cause your biscuits is plenty tall enough for me.